Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, to begin with. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind," and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the blessed story of creation as you've unfolded for us in the first book of Genesis, in the first chapter. Thank you for the glorious account that you've given us here of the creation, and thank you for the wisdom, the insight, the power, and the grace that's in this wonderful creation story. Open our eyes and our hearts to better understand the beauty and the wonder of your creation, and help us to know, Lord, that which you've established, we should celebrate and we should observe and never oppose or never come against. Help us to know, Lord, that you've called us to hear truth, to receive truth, and walk in that truth. Help us to be committed to the building of your kingdom and by walking in full obedience and never opposing the wisdom and of your truth, your grace, and your mercy as found in your precious and powerful word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. This is the Hour of Intercession. And our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we join the psalmist in saying, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth." Father, we want hearts like that. We want hearts are set on you, that our affections are set on things above, on you and all the things relating to you, Father. We acknowledge that you are our strength, the strength of our hearts. You're our portion forever, and we rejoice in that today, Father. What a hope we have. No matter the chaos, no matter the circumstances of life, we have hope because our great backdrop to everything is you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to remind and encourage you, please take time to go to our AFA Resource Center. Visit AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. And there you'll find products and items that are there to help strengthen and encourage you and your family in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a marketplace to help inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to help be a part of the work of the building of the kingdom of God and transforming our culture. You'll find many resources there, including a couple books I'd like to point out to you, books that I had the privilege of writing and having in the bookstore. The first one is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, and we'll be alluding to that book a little later in the broadcast once again. But the second book is entitled The Intercession Chronicles. Both of them are discipleship tools. The first one, A Pastor's Notes, is a tool to help equip you to become a believer that's involved in the important work of standing boldly for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. And the book is a compilation of articles that help better educate and inform believers about the different sides of the biblical truths behind the life issue. So I hope that you'll take time to get that book. But also the second one is The Intercession Chronicles. This is a book that's a tool to help set your prayer life on fire and your walk with the Lord. It's also a tool that's an evangelism tool for people that you know that don't know the Lord, that you can give them the book as a tool to help draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the two books, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, and The Intercession Chronicles are a couple of the books, two books I had the privilege of writing, but one of many books and tools that you'll find in the AFA bookstore. Again, to go to the AFA Resource Center, go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. And today specifically, we're looking at the topic here on the broadcast, A Call for the Church to Help End the Tragedy of Abortion. Again, a call for the church to help, to boldly help end the tragedy of abortion. And as we look at this topic, a part of what we'll be doing today is I'm going to be sharing some, both of my own journey as a pastor and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in addressing the life issue, but also ways in which God is clearly calling each of us individually in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole to help not just to stand against abortion, but to help to end the tragedy of abortion in our nation. How important it is that we recognize that God's word is very clear. You know, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, "You shall not murder." That's very clear and upfront. Yet sadly, we live in a culture and in a world that will many times try to twist what God has said or just to totally contradict what God has said. Sometimes, too often, our world will try to take words and disguise them to rebrand the names behind the definitions of words and make them acceptable. For example, it's important to understand abortion, tragically, is the murder of a baby in the womb. Well, the fact is, you can call it reproductive rights, or you can call it a woman's right to choose, or you can call it whatever term you want to call it, but it doesn't change the reality of the fact that it's taking of an innocent life. And the fact is, God has already told us in His Word, you shall not murder. So we don't have to wonder about, well, is it God's will in this case for this person to have an abortion? It's never the will of God for someone to have an abortion, because an abortion is murder. God does not contradict His Word. Now, God will forgive that sin. God will forgive that wrongdoing on the part of a person. So the Bible lets us know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So for persons that have gone down that road, or maybe who've helped or assisted or paid for an abortion, yes, there's forgiveness. We serve a merciful and a loving Heavenly Father. So yes, there's clearly an opportunity for people to receive forgiveness who've gone down that road. But a very important issue is for we, the church, to do our part to end the tragedy of legalized abortion in this world and in this nation. Why? Because it's clearly against the Word and the will of God. So as we look at some passages in the Word of God, we're wanting to lay a clear biblical foundation for us to look at why we as the church are to be involved in this very important work. Father, thank you for this opportunity for us as the church to take a clear and bold stand for life and against abortion, and stir us to be a people that are committed to hearing your word and doing your word as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, a familiar passage. Exodus 1, verse starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Here we find a familiar but a very powerful story about two courageous young women who decided that they put God before men, before government, before wicked rules and wicked laws. The Pharaoh had clearly decided that he wanted to get rid of some of the Hebrew people, and so he told them to kill the baby boys. But Shiphrah and Puah clearly knew it was against the word and the will of God to kill precious baby boys, and they refused to do it. And at some point, Pharaoh realized it wasn't happening, and he calls them in. But by the grace of God, God gave them wisdom and ingenuity to outsmart Pharaoh. They basically let Pharaoh know, Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are just so lively and healthy, they just birth those babies before we get there. Well, what does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing upon nothing. And they outsmart and outwit Pharaoh. And they stand for truth as well. God uses them wonderfully. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, a call for the church to help end the tragedy of abortion. We'll be right back.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
music of Lincoln Brewster with Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, a call for the church to boldly help end the tragedy of abortion. And we're encouraging every single believer listening today that you would take time to pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do to help stand boldly for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our nation. And of course, a very important starting place is that we can daily pray for the Lord, for just for the ending of abortion and for the Lord to help us to do what he wants each of us to do to help both support the work of life and end the tragedy of abortion. You know, we hear a lot about Roe v. Wade in the news and in our culture today. Well, the fact is that was a Supreme Court case that took place back in 1973 that basically was considered the point at which abortion was legalized in our entire nation. Well, the reality is Roe v. Wade was a very wicked and an evil thing when it happened. It was wrong. The Supreme Court was wrong in making that decision, and it should have never happened. So certainly it's not something at all to be celebrated or supported, but we're to be praying for the ending of legalized abortion in our nation. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments, and then we want to pray specifically about this matter. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. We're going to take time now specifically to pray the Ten Commandments. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. And thank you for your divine and eternal wisdom as found specifically in the Ten Commandments. Lord, thank you for us as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And Father, we thank you for every believer listening today. Thank you for the opportunity you give each one of us to be a witness and an ambassador for your kingdom in the corner and the place where you've placed and called each and every one of us to serve you in our lives. Lord, help us all to have ears to hear as you direct us today and more in the future to better know exactly what it is you're calling each one of us to do to help stand for life and help stand against the tragedy of abortion and to help end abortion. Guide us so that each of us would do all you want each one of us to do to help bring this about. Help us to know, Lord, that we always are called to stand on your word and to support your word and to walk in your word, and that we're never to seek to contradict your word or make excuses for the contradiction of your word. Help us to know, Lord, that when we choose to obey your word, we're choosing life. We're choosing blessed blessing. We're choosing grace as we choose to hear your word and obey your word. Help us to be much more faithful hearers and doers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, I want to take a few moments specifically to share from an article that I wrote entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion, and you can find it on the stand at afa.net. Go to afa.net and go to the stand, and you can find this article here, or if you want to simply email us and get a copy. But this lays out a biblical foundation of passages of Scripture that help us to know clearly God's heart and His mind on the reality and the importance of life as found in His Word. Again, the article, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say that they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? In fact, a bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides whether something is good or bad? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please Him? The simple answer is, God does. God tells us His perspective and thoughts. He tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word. In the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. We do need to be mindful that this is the issue. It's not a matter of who is God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us His Word, and if we line up with His Word, we end up on the right side. If we ignore, disregard, and oppose the Word of God, we are on the wrong side. So now, look at what the Word of God has to say about abortion. Of course, abortion is the act of deliberately killing an innocent baby in the womb. It's the taking of an innocent and helpless human life. Here are some passages from the Word of God that give us God's counsel and His will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, it tells us, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice and taking and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 tells us, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs 24, verse 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, verse 12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 tell us, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Then in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Molech, to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Again, Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Then Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Deuteronomy again, chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. In Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Then in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35, they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, Jeremiah 32, 35. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Oh, as a side note, keep in mind, just as 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 alludes to, again, God has mercy and forgiveness towards those who will repent of their sin and ask for forgiveness. In Exodus 1, 15 through 22, and Matthew 2, 16 through 18, God's word tells of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the life issue, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to God's word in view of what he says about these issues? A correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. In the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, three people of quote-unquote faith found a man in great trouble and distress. Two of the three people passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the injured man in distress. Sadly, they did nothing to help. Yet when a Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went through great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command, "Go and do likewise." In other words, Christ clearly calls us not to imitate the priest or the Levite, but to imitate the Good Samaritan who stopped and compassionately reached out to the person in need. Babies in the womb have too often been seen, babies in the womb have too often been the man on the side of the road. The world has beaten them up, robbed them, and taken their lives. May the church, the body of Christ, stand up today like the Samaritan. May we not pass by on the other side anymore. And may we stop supporting people who say they are believers yet support the killing of innocent babies. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and in our world. Again, the title of that article is God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. And if you'd like to get a copy, and I would encourage you, please email us to get a copy. Email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And ask for a copy of the article, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. Let me mention, too, again, we're specifically encouraging our listeners to become a part of those who are praying and interceding for a project that we're a part of, a project that we're helping to spearhead. Basically, it's a project of raising up a mobile pregnancy clinic that will serve in the Mississippi Delta. We'll give you more information about that in just a few moments. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look today at the topic, a call for the church to help boldly end the tragedy of abortion. We'll be right back. music from Elevation Worship, the song Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, a call for the church to boldly help end the tragedy of abortion. And we're encouraging every single believer to take time to pray and ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to do, help support life and to help end the tragedy of abortion in our nation. Keep in mind, God's word clearly tells us, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. That's very clear and upfront. Yet sadly, we live in a culture that tries to confuse the matter and try to come up with new words and terms, such as a woman's right to choose and reproductive rights and euthanasia, words that may try to soften the blow of what the word murder is. But when you take an innocent life, it's still murder, and it's always against the word and the will of God. God's word doesn't change. No matter how much you sugarcoat it or change it in its appearance, to take an innocent life is against the will of God, and God's word will never, ever change. So it's important for we as believers to know that God's word doesn't change, so we're not to change on our stance on this important truth as well. And so again, the article that I read earlier that lays out some biblical, very solid biblical foundation about why. And this is not all the scriptures, but these are a number of passages that clearly let us know that God's word clearly opposes abortion. Again, the article carries that title, God's word clearly opposes abortion. So to get a copy, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We are encouraging every single listener, if you would please pray with us as we can move forward with an important project that we're helping to spearhead. The project is entitled the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center. It's a ministry whereby we're raising funds to purchase a mobile medical pregnancy unit that will serve in the southern portion of the Mississippi Delta. Please pray with us for the Lord to bless and prosper this project. And this week you'll be hearing more about how the Ministry of the American Family Association is helping with this important project. And please pray with us, and we ask that you prayerfully consider making a contribution to help us with this project as well. If you're wanting more specific information about the project, the website is greenwoodhopecenter.org. Again, that's greenwoodhopecenter.org, and you can learn more about the project there. Hope that you will, as I said, pray with us, and if you'll prayerfully consider contributing to help us with this important project that would help both bring the ministry of a pregnancy clinic on wheels to these communities where there are no such ministries at present. And also, this ministry is also it's a wonderful means whereby the gospel is shared with persons who need to hear the gospel as well. So hope that you will get involved. I want to take time now specifically to share one more article that reminds us, and I'm going back to the story we read early in the broadcast, the wonderful story of these two precious young ladies, Shipra and Puah, in the book of Exodus chapter 1, who courageously stood up and God used them to help preserve the lives of little baby Hebrew baby boys. And they probably were used by God to help save the life of a little baby boy by the name of Moses as well. This article is entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. Again, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. In a short, very interesting and powerful story from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and his creation. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21 tell us, then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Picture them, Shipra and Puah, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant mothers during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then one eventful day, Pharaoh gave them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys when they are born. It does not seem that he gave them any reasons why they were to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, but the midwives feared God. They refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys were not dying. So he calls the two midwives and confronts them, asking why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shipra and Puah gave this response. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. Exodus 1:19. Well, what did Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. So God, in his sovereignty, gave Shipra and Puah grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis. They courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed that order. Why? Because the midwives feared God. Exodus 1:17. Shipra and Puah stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, His will, and His word. Walk with courage despite controversy as a believer. Make that your goal. Shipra and Puah, here in this story, teach by example how to stand up for what is right. They are showing us boldly that it is right to stand up for right and stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses around this time was just a baby boy that is born early in the book of Exodus. Pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today can learn very powerful lessons from Shipra and Puah. We in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we are guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Today, governments and governmental leaders, sadly, have told us that it's all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shipras and Puahs today. He's looking for people who fear Him. He's looking for believers who will obey His word. God is looking for believers who know what His word clearly says about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and not murdering, Exodus 20, verse 13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted to stand for His word and for His babies. Well, what does it mean to stand up for God and to stand for His children? Well, it can mean many things. Number one, pray daily for the spirit of boldness for believers so we will courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples. Pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in our world. Number two, pray much for the ministries on the front lines of spreading the gospel and standing for life. And get involved with supporting them with your prayers and your finances as well. There's never a time to apologize for or shrink back from standing on God's word, for following the word of God, or for speaking the word of God. God's word is our guidebook. our instruction manual for all of life. We are not ever to decide that disobedience to God's word for any reason is acceptable. Why do we see so many persons who say they love God, yet they're involved with the work of, yet they're not involved with the work of the spreading of the gospel, making disciples, or speaking out against tragedies in our culture, such as the killing of innocent babies in the womb, in abortion? Sadly, the reasons that they're not involved are varied and numerous. Tragically, too many believers have opted not to walk courageously. In fact, too many believers are acting like cowards. A bit strong, one might say. Not really. The reality is that many among us who say we love the Lord walk and act like cowards. And the reality is the truth hurts. But very often it needs to be said because the truth helps us see ourselves for who we are and where we stand. And once we see ourselves, if we're not who we should be, and if we're not acting as we should act, we can repent and ask God to help us to step up to where we should be. Today, too many pastors walk as cowards when it comes to what and how they are preaching and teaching from the pulpit on the life issue and other issues as well. Many church leaders choose to stay away from issues and topics deemed controversial. Yet too often the church leaders shy away from challenging believers to live sacrificially in the way they hear and obey the word of God. Well, for time reasons, we're going to end the reading of that. It's not quite the end of that article, but if you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us at jparker@afa.net, the title of the article, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. I hope that you'll email us to get a copy of both of these articles. Again, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church, and the article, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. Simply email us at jparker@afa.net. As usual, in the last few moments of the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you, we'd like to invite you to make that step, because today is a great day to get saved. Today is an important day to make the very important decision of committing your heart and life to Christ. Would you simply pray this prayer with us if you'd like to be saved today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I have sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please email us. Please get in touch with us. My email again is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, jparker@afa.net. And if you'd like to learn more about the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, that email, that website is greenwoodhopecenter.org. And that's greenwoodhopecenter.org. Please pray much for this project. And if you'd like to give financially, it's very much appreciated. Again, that's greenwoodhopecenter.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.